it's a theme from Punky Brewster, and you're not going to get me singing it anymore. Nice try.
Oh, it's still going on the front.
Life is funny. Why is life funny? Well, because it just is. And because God has a sense of humor and wants us to laugh and be joyful and live in mirth and merriment. And so life is, in and of itself, funny. And music. Music helps us celebrate the funny thing that we call life. In the words of the great Prince, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered together to celebrate this thing called life." And today, that's what we're going to do right here on the greatest. Did you just spill all over yourself, Phil?
I was gonna thank you for not doing that opening while I took a sip of my iced tea. And yet it didn't matter because I took a sip and I spilled all over me anyway. We have got to stop starting these episodes this way.
Oh, I don't know about it. It's good for me. Welcome to the Greatest Song You'd Ever Heard podcast. I am your host, Chris Cochran, along with my co-host, a good friend and partner in crime, Mr. Phil Anderson.
Good.
Not to be confused with Louie Anderson.
No. Rest in peace. But I feel like I can swing from both sides of the plate, just like our friend Cal Ripken.
Wow.
I mean, Cal Raleigh. You like that?
I'm not even touching that one.
No, I'm actually saying Cal Raleigh, I mean, two times in 3 days, hit a home run, two of them from the other side. Yeah.
That's true. So real quick question. So if you heard the word Cal, what would you think that person's nickname, full name is?
Calbert.
Calbert?
Calvestine.
That's not a Calvestine. That sounds more like something you get on your teeth that you have to have the dentist scrape off. I had to have all the Calvertine stripped off my teeth.
He used the Calbert to do it. The Calbert tool.
Well, wouldn't you think that like Calvin?
Maybe.
Or, yeah, his name is Caleb.
I know.
But he goes by Cal.
He should go by Kale.
Kale.
Yeah.
It's funny. I know a guy named Kale.
Is he spelled with a K or a C?
Whose name is spelled exactly the same way as K-A-L-E.
Wow.
But he goes by Calais.
Oh, and see, there you go. You know, talk about life being funny, Chris.
Yes.
Well, you just opened with that. So I was trying to put I
saw that callback.
Yeah, thank you. The callback. Who's the comedian that does all the impressions, was on CBS, and he does a John Madden, and he does
I know exactly.
Yeah, but he's like, here's a guy, and he's making the circle, and he's so good at bringing it back to the beginning. So good.
Yes. Let's bring it back to the beginning, Phil, which is there are songs that we love, not just you and I, but every human being love, that for whatever reason, nobody else has ever heard them before. And we've called them the greatest song you've never heard. And this podcast is where you, Phil, me, Chris, bring a song every week that the other one has probably never heard, unless it's, of course, the Traveling Wilburys or Veronica. And we bring that song and experience it for the first time along with our listeners. But all we get is a cheat sheet of some lyrics, and we can experience it for the first time. And then we discuss that song, its background, and maybe why we think no one else but us has ever heard it.
Yeah.
Not for lack of quality, not for lack of style, usually for lack of something else.
Yeah, and does that mean that every one of these songs, everybody on earth when they listen to them are going to love them? Probably not. But that just goes back to our tastes, right? But so many times you'll have a record executive say, we're not going to release that song because it's not hit worthy, and yet it's one of the best songs, if not the best song on the album or that artist recorded. We do it in a style of Smartless, the podcast, where the three hosts, tri-hosts, if you will, one will bring a guest to the table that the other two don't know about. And it's absolutely fantastic. And we have mimicked that model with music. So they can thank us for giving them all these shout outs and just driving all sorts of listeners to their podcast.
Especially because I came up with this concept in the mid 2000s, like 2006.
They should be paying you residual.
They should. I should have licensed this out to them.
Yes, you should. Well, note to self, learning curve, next time, do that.
Good call. Good call. Thank Phil, you. Do you have a greatest song that no one's ever heard before?
I do.
Song for us today.
Yes.
Do you?
This song I have listened to for many, 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 many years.
Because you've been alive for many, many, many.
Yes, but I haven't listened to this song for that many years.
Okay.
But a good portion, a good percentage of those years. Because this song encompasses everything I like in music.
Interesting. So it's going to be a little bit of a boogie, a little bit of blues, a little bit of jazz. There's going to be a woman singing it. It's going to have some big horns. If it's everything that you like. There's going to be a big piano solo.
So you named off about six or seven things. It's going to have four or five of those. I will let you and the listeners tell me what those four or five things are right now.
Well, let's do it.
Thank you.
all I can say is those were the greatest lyrics you've ever brought to the table.
Now, I think I brought lyrics this good one other time.
I'm going to say I have no clue what song this is. There's no way to tell what the name is.
I know. That's the funny thing about jazz, right? Instrumental.
I would call it, my guess would be horny for sitcoms.
Oh, wow. Really?
You see what I did there?
Horny for sitcoms. Ah, yes.
Yes. I liked this a lot. This is a great song. It had all the things that Phil would like in a song.
That's right.
Including shallow lyrics, big horns, a big old Hammond B3. The sax solos were amazing. The drum solos were awesome. The fretless bass in this is...
I'm so happy you made mention of that. I'm telling you, the way the bass and the horn, the deep horn, play off each other, it's so good. And by the way, on the studio recording, that doesn't happen. That's why I chose one. Yeah, because this one is so, so good. You know, studio, they kind of...
Yeah.
It's a little bit more conservative, but this, they just jam. This is basically a jam.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking through as this was playing too, by the way, this is one of those songs that you couldn't memorize. You'd have to have the sheet music for it because it's too long and there's too many complex things going on that you couldn't just like memorize this song and then play it. You'd really need to follow along to understand where you were at in the song, which I found really interesting. But it did remind me a lot of the theme from between 1982 and 85, there was this area where jazz was very, very popular as the theme songs for sitcoms like Alf and Night Court and Webster. And it reminded me a lot of those kinds.
Taxi, Bob James?
Taxi, yeah. Taxi is another one were in there. And that's not a knock on those by any stretch. It just was a style of, I think it was they were lazy. And they didn't want to write new music, so they just grabbed something off the shelf and threw it on there for a sitcom, not knowing if it was going to last.
Oh, maybe.
And then some of these sitcoms ended up lasting, you know?
Oh, maybe.
But I really liked everything about this song. And I feel like when you tell me who it is, because it's on the tip of my tongue who it sounds like, the group that it sounds like, but I couldn't bring it up. All I could think of was Manhattan Transfer, and they sing, not just play instruments. So tell me more, Phil. Tell me more.
Okay, do you have an idea of the year this song was written? Not this particular recording, but the year.
My gut would say between 78 and 83, with more towards like an 82 to 83 time frame.
It was written in 1993. That's when they recorded it. Well, I mean, I don't know what was written, but that's when they recorded it to the particular album. This particular version was recorded on a album called Rhodes Scholar. Okay. Play on words there. 1998.
Wow.
And literally, this is one of my all-time favorite jazz bands. And I listened to... There are so many songs I could have brought to the table.
Yes.
But this one is the one that I lean on a lot. For all of the reasons that you said leading into it, there's no woman vocalist, although I'm guessing there have been a woman or two singing this song out in the crowd when they're listening to it, putting their own words to it. So a couple things. And so you have no idea the band?
No.
The band is named after a type of algae.
Promotozoa?
Close, but no. the band leader is Jay Bekenstein. Okay. Kind of a lot like David Sanborn in a sense. David Sanborn played with the, Letterman. He played with Letterman band. With Paul Schaefer and all that.
He did.
And I like David Sanborn just fine, but Jay Bekenstein, he created this band with a friend of his, a keyboard player up until 94. His name was Jeremy Wall.
Okay.
So the thing about Spirogyra is the band, they let everybody write and pitch songs, and then they will record everyone's songs.
wasn't, hold on. Not Tim Burton, Danny Elfman. Wasn't he a member of Spyro Jr.?
No, you're thinking of Oingo Boingo.
Oh yeah, true.
Yeah. No, the
you can see where I went, where I got confused.
Yeah, I can. No.
Spyro Jr., Oingo Boingo, Willy Nilly.
Sorry.
Poco Toco.
Poco Harum. I'm sorry. No, Chris, I'm sorry. The name we were looking for was Oingo Boingo.
What is Spyro Gyra?
That's good. That's correct. Spyro Gyra. That's right. Who is Spyro Gyra? Over 30 albums. Okay. They've been around since the 70s. First got the album Catching the Sun in 1978 from my Uncle Doug for my birthday.
Shout out to Uncle Doug.
Yeah, he's no longer with us, but he actually has a pretty, both my uncles had a very strong, actually all three of my uncles have a fairly strong impression on me music-wise, in a sense. So my Uncle Doug, from my mom's side, my mom's brother, played music in Seattle all the time. There's a very good chance I'll be bringing a song to the table if I can find something that was recorded well. That was the problem, as I don't have all that stuff. But he was a fretless bass player, one of the very few in Seattle. Yeah, one of the very few. They would play down at Pioneer Square at some of the a blues band, and their last song would be a cover song, Eric Clapton, Further On Up the Road. And it was about a 10-minute song. All the players got a solo, but my Uncle Doug would be on the bar and he would turn his amp up so loud that he could play with one hand. Well, he would finger on his left hand, right? So the notes, and he would drink a beer while he's playing. It was so much fun. And all the players would be up on, except for the drummer, sax player, guitar player, bass player, would be all up, and the keyboard player was not, on tables or the bar on this last song playing. You know, they, yeah, and they had chords dangling everywhere. It was a lot of fun. They were called the Breakers, named after the band, the Blues Breakers. I digress a lot, but that's where I get a lot of these influences with music like this, because this brought the funk that bass player, his name is Scott Ambush. Julio Fernandez, guitar player, had a really good guitar solo.
Really?
Well, I think he had a good guitar solo.
No, I mean, really, because I know the name Julio Fernandez.
Yep. And all these players write music and bring it to the band. And they'll play. So it's not just Jay Bekenstein. And so that's one thing I really like about Spyro Gyra is they're like, you got a song, let's bring it to the table. So over 30 albums, debuted in 1978. Their breakthrough album was Morning Dance. That was after Catching the Sun. They've been Grammy nominated for songs Catch Me in the Loop, 1981, and Alternating Currents, 1985. They've had 10 Grammy nominations, a Grammy win for the best pop instrumental performance for 10th anniversary in 1988. They had a release in 1998. 2020 was the name of the album, because 20 albums in 20 years. They just keep pumping out albums. I have listened to Tom Schumann, has got a semi-solo career going, but it's just... they've had 15 top 10 albums on the Billboard Jazz chart. And I know you can say, well, this is contemporary jazz. It's not traditional jazz by any stretch. But I love the fact that they are really good musicians, and they kind of, well, they're fusion. They fuse together the modern, the contemporary jazz with a little bit of traditional stuff. I love that. They were formed in 1974 in Buffalo, New York, right up the street from you.
Right up the street from you. Fascinating. Well, I should have known Spyro Gyra, but that's not, I would never have guessed. Isn't it funny though, how, to your point, a lot of what we end up hearing as younger people, because of the older people in our lives, tends to influence the songs that we like as adults and the music that we like as adults. So in my world, I grew up, my grandparents were very big, especially my grandmother, big influence on me musically. But she loved, I mean, loved old school country music, like 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And in my mind to this day, and we've talked about this on the show, if it's country music after like 1980, it ain't my gig. But anything before that, especially from like the 40s, 50s, and 60s, man, count me in all day long because it's the style of music I grew up listening to.
So I've got to play something for you right now. Bear with me, okay?
Okay.
Just bear with me.
It's also interesting, too, the more that I know you're going to play something here, but it's also interesting, too, the more that I've been learning recently about the history of rock music, what an influence that country music and swing was on, not swing music like we would think of, but the swing beat and country music. Those two things put together, in some sense, becomes one of the foundations for rock music as we know it.
So Lindsay and Brian, my daughter Lindsay, her husband Brian, to your point, Brian still on Sunday mornings plays things from the Temptations and all the old school R&B, and it's really cool. I'm going to play something for our listeners. This was not planned, but Chris, you did a voiceover for Wine Time Fridays that when we sometimes use Greatest Song You Never Heard as a sponsor on the podcast sometimes. I will play this, and you make a very familiar reference.
You know that song? The one that's one of the best songs you've ever heard in your life, but nobody else knows? Yeah, us too. The Greatest Song You've Never Heard podcast brings you a weekly song, the story behind it, and some background as to why that song might not be more well-known. I'm Chris Cochran, one of the hosts of The Greatest Song You've Never Heard, and for most of my life, I've been collecting music from every genre imaginable, every style you can think of. Well, except modern country. I hate modern country. Hank Williams Sr., fantastic. Ferlin Husky, freaking amazing. But I digress.
Someday I'm going to bring a Ferlin Husky song.
I felt like I needed to play that because you just made a reference of the old country that, right? Sure. Because people that are important in your life and they bring some music and you share in that with them, that makes an imprint on you. And so this song is a big influence from all of that.
Can I just throw an idea for our listeners too, Phil? I think it's really important for parents to actually spend the time to, I know that your kids, especially once they're teenagers, don't want to listen to the crap you listen to, blah, 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 blah. But it's important that your kids know what your favorite band is. It's important that your kids know what style of music shaped you as a human being. Because someday you're going to be dead and gone, but that music will live on. And sometimes that music will actually take them back to a time. I can't tell you how many times I in my memory, go back to riding in the car with my dad, just the two of us, listening to oldies and him getting super into. And it turns out I found out, not until I was in middle school, did I find out my dad's favorite band of all time was the Moody Blues.
Is that right? Isn't that, so interesting. Well, and sometimes, so I think that Lindsay's got a real strong imprint of Billy Joel, right? And yet she still tries to call Hall & Oates Billy Joel. So there you go. If you want to make fun of my daughter, leave a comment below. Now, I'm not going to make fun of Chris's daughter, Riley, because right now I think I'm on a bit of a roll and I'm going to keep riding that wave and I'm going to keep Riley quiet in her snarkiness.
Well, and I would never make fun of your daughter, Phil, because I'm a good human being.
Well, but not all our listeners are good human beings.
You know, oh, that's true.
I'm
that's
just saying. True. I mean,
I know there's a couple of reprobates out there.
Retrobates. Oh my gosh. Leave a comment. GreatestSongYouNeverHeard.com on our Facebook page as well as X Twitter. We'll eventually get to them. Okay, Chris, this is all I got. Well,
Spyro Gyro is one of the greatest songs I've never heard, even if it did sound like the theme song from Al.
I accept that.
Oh, speaking of which, as of the day of this recording, the young man who is the son, Benji, on Alf, passed away this week.
Well, that's way to bring us down.
And with that downer, I'm going to say thank you for listening to the Greatest Song You Never Heard podcast. We hope your day is bright, sunny, and exciting. Unlike Benji's, it's just dark today.